Okay, so what do Paul Revere, Ed Wood, Sam the Butcher, the Bay City Rollers, Webster, Arnold from Different Strokes, Hannibal from the A-Team, and probably your Uncle Ralph have in common? Well, damn it, we're about to find out on the next edition of So Bad It's... Hey everyone, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in again to So Bad It's, the podcast where John and I, I'm Pete.
And I'm John.
And that's John. And this is where we kind of talk about a lot of pop culture craziness, things that we grew up with, things that are still relevant or have some kind of meaning in our lives. The value of that meaning is always debatable. But yeah, so we're discussing all crazy things like that. If you caught our first episode, you kind of get the gist of it. If you haven't, then why don't you go onto iTunes and download it and give it a little listen, a little look-see.
How did we get the money for a second podcast? How do you do that?
I've been working the streets since...
Okay, hang on. I got the ledger.
Yep.
I'm putting that in the ledger.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. All right, well...
I made $14.32.
Can I take care of a little
Not
bit
proud.
Of business here really quick,
Not
Pete?
Proud.
Do you mind?
Yeah.
Last time we did our podcast, I forgot to mention how we come by all of our statistical data and analysis. We have hired and or asked to have on on assignment 13 Chilean scientists. So we have them pretty much like I could text them. I'm not sure exactly where they are. They're around here somewhere. But I could send them a text if we have a question. I just want to let everybody know it's kind of like the Ernst & Young thing at the Oscars. Everything we talk about is 100% accurate as far as we care. Okay? So continue. I'm
sorry. Yeah, no, and yeah, they're in the they're hanging out in the records room. I think they are Chilean down right now and chillaxing. Waiting for the call if they need it. If they need it.
Yeah, I don't understand that, what you're doing there.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, but you don't speak Chilean.
I don't.
You're right.
Okay,
so why
I'm
would
sorry.
You
I'm really
speak
sorry.
Chilean? Okay, so this week we're talking about something that you probably have seen in your life. It's in day-to-day life. We're going to kind of talk about this phenomenon, and there's no sense in beating around the bush here. We're talking about slackjacking this week. And
we are.
Well,
we're going to talk about this on a podcast.
Get excited, people. Get
You're letting
excited.
It out of the bag. All right.
I'm not sure if anyone really knows what slackjacking is. It's not – you can look it up. You can Google it, and you're not going to find a whole lot under slackjacking.
None. Actually, I'm a little embarrassed by you being the one to talk about this because you're the one who created the name. one late night evening, about like 10:40, 1:30 p.m., we were watching some A-Team remotely. And Pete throws the slacks jacket at me, and I thought he said slacks jacket, which I loved. And then he corrected me later on and said slacks jacket, which I loved. And, you know, rolled with it from there. I immediately ran to the most official, what is it, the Werther's, Merriam-Werther's dictionary, mm-hmm. and looked up the term, and it was not in there.
That's the butterscotch edition, right?
Yeah, I was very upset about that. And did a little bit of that wiki thing on the online, and I couldn't find it there either. It's not there. So you pretty much coined it. I'm helping, you know, bring it out there, but I just wanted to give Pete really the props and you know, the recognition.
Well, you know, I don't have my pilot's license yet, so I mean, I appreciate you giving me the props. Okay. There's not much I can do with it yet, but I'm hopeful. Hopefully, one day.
No, that's not.
Oh, different props.
It kind of like you know, the ups.
Oh,
the big ups.
Like Carrot Top uses props.
Yes. So anyway, slacks jacket.
I just want to say that tonight's episode is sponsored by the tall glass of Old Medley whiskey that I'm drinking right now, the 12-year. It's really great, and by no means am I endorsing it, but I'm endorsing it, and you should drink
it. You know what, Pete?
Especially if you're between 16 and 18.
Yeah. You know, Pete, even more important than that, we should probably do the jingle, which we've never practiced and I've never heard of. So
jingle,
let's do the you know the Irish drinking song that they do for, what's the name of it again?
Old Medley.
So let's do it at the top. We'll count down from 1:30.
Okay.
And we'll do the jingle of Irish Old Medley.
And a one and a half and a two and a half.
And a there was a time when I was hanging with me friends, and then me grandma stepped upon me shillelagh, and I wept for a day. Is that it? She hit me in the headley.
I drank me Old Medley and woke up in bed with Grandpa in the bed.
No. See,
I feel like that's where all Irish drinking songs end up, in bed with Grandma and Grandpa.
No. See, the listeners should realize that I have a marketing and advertising degree, and I don't know that would have made it on air. Anyway, continue with the slack jacking.
We're off on a tangent here, and it's getting crazy. It's getting wild and woolly. But yes, slacks jacking. Slacks jacking, people. Slacks jacking. So.
And what Pete is saying is slacks. Like
slacks.
Pants.
Yeah, slacks.
Not slats.
It's just a great word. You know, it's kind of fallen out of fashion, no pun intended. But slacks, I mean, there's a nice pair of slacks, nice pressed pair of, like, you know, like something from like Dicker and Dicker from Beverly Hills, like you see on the game shows, like you just want a pair of Dicker and Dicker slacks. And
okay,
when I was 12, I had no idea what the hell that was, but it sounded great.
You made that up. I think you made it up. But continue. Tell the listener, what is slacks jacking? Is it a verb? Is it a noun? Is it a state of being?
I'm not paid for my grammar knowledge, but what I am paid to do is tell you this. Slacksjacking is the art, it's the lifestyle, it's the je ne sais quoi of hooking your thumbs into the belt loops of your slacks, trousers, if you will, and just giving it hell, just yanking them up as high as they can go, right up to the pits. We're talking just right up there, just giving it everything you've got. And you've seen it. Your uncle probably jacks his slacks like no one's business. It's been through Hollywood, and we're going to talk about these things. It's been from like the 50s and the 70s to the 80s. Maybe not as fashionable now, but we've got some stories to tell that are just going to blow your mind about slack shacking. It's a phenomenon.
Hey, Pete, I just got a text from the Chilean scientist.
Yeah, what do they want?
It just said ozone layer. Mm. I don't know what they mean by that. Maybe you've done a little research. Mm. We'll have to talk about it later. But so you jack in the slacks, right? It's a conscious thing, right? I mean, you want to do it. It's not somebody's like making you do it. It's not subconscious. It's not like, you know, I mean, is it a fashion statement? What is it exactly?
It's all of these things and more, really. I mean, you can't define slacks jacking because, like I said, your Uncle Melvin, who is maybe getting up a little in years, maybe he's getting the paunch, the little pot belly going, and he doesn't want to have his slacks kind of, you know, that low. So he's just going to keep lifting them up, inching them higher over that belly, and all of a sudden It just fits, and it just hangs there, and it looks great. And when he kind of digs his hands into the waistline that are, you know, that are up by the pits, and you start rotating the thumbs around the nipples. I'm not. You know, I'm just speaking for my uncle. I don't know. Maybe your uncle's done that.
All right. Just got another little bit of business here. I just got a text from 1300 Lithuanian lawyers that we have also on call here, and they said we're talking about something that could possibly cause some kind of physical, emotional, zoological harm. So we might need to have a disclaimer. Like, I don't know really what that is, but you know, if you were to jack your own slacks is what I'm saying.
You have to, I mean, obviously you have to be careful because if, if you jack them too fast, it causes a lot of friction. So, I mean, there, you know, there's pros and cons to jacking your slacks. Some of the pros might be, you know, it feels kind of like climbing the rope in gym. You've got
emotional.
The emotional. You've got the thumb hook nipple rub, which I kind of already, you know, brushed upon. You can also you can unzip your slacks and then go finger spelunking in your belly button because it's right there.
That's a term that has never been used on the planet.
Yeah, so those, those are the pros. We're just laying out the pros and cons. You know, some of the cons would be a loss of hearing from jacking your slacks too quickly, too hard.
I don't want to interrupt you here, but I do. I have like a, you know, cryptozoology, you know, all those different types of the Yeti and the different types of creepy animals that are out there, cryptozoologists. I don't have a degree in that, but I have an interest in it. And because of that, I have some scientific knowledge. There's a few things that we need to talk about. There's you know, just different interactions with other medications. You know, there's like you were just getting into hearing loss. There's male pattern baldness. You have that ear thing. And then we also had that problem with spontaneous combustion. So, I mean, and that's just the ones we know about. So anyway, the lawyer said we're done with that.
Okay. Yeah, well, we want to make sure that we're laying out everything that's good and bad about this because people may come out of this podcast be like, hey, I want to jack my slacks because this sounds like it's something that needs to happen. I mean, you know, it's an individual choice. And you take a look at what slacks, the basic definition of a pair of slacks is, you know, they're supposed to be worn from the waist to the ankles. And slacks jackers are going to be like, no, I'm not going to be contained by such a narrow definition. If I want to jack my slacks up to my belly button, I'm going to do it. If I want to jack my slacks up to the pits, I'm going to do that too. Yeah. If I want to walk around with just arms and a head and a pair of pants.
Oh, you're going to do that.
Yeah. Just try and stop me.
Yeah. Well, you know, people have often asked me, like, give me a visual. You know, what could you possibly compare the jacked slacks or the slacks jacking to? And it's really, you know, once every, what is it, like every other day, we have that crazy solar eclipse, right? They tell you, look at it, don't look at it. It's like that odd thing. And when somebody's slacks jacking and they're coming from about, I think, you know, if you have like 20/20 vision, you could see them from about 2.5 miles away. You see pants, they come closer, you see more pants. And then when they're right on top of you, really all you see is pants. And that's something we're trying to convey just visually and exceptionally what you might experience if somebody around you is slacks jacking, because you need to know that too.
You need to know everything because, there's been times in history when slacks jacking has kind of been de rigueur, in vogue, as it were. And you would see that, you know, in the 40s and 50s, you know, Ed Wood.
You meant the singing band En Vogue.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
My slacks jacking, you're never going to get it because people didn't get it. They didn't get what slacks jacking could accomplish. Well,
that's why we're doing. No, don't get upset again. We did this. You know, we're doing the podcast for that.
I get very emotional talking about slacks and slacks jacking.
I know. And the war. But anyway.
I wear my slacks on my sleeve. What can I say?
Yeah. You got to do it. We need to take people through the history. This is something that's been going on for a very long time.
Right. And if you're listening to this episode on a bus on your way to work or, you know, in the comfort of your own home, sipping on a Yoo-Hoo and eating some animal crackers, when you go into the office the next day or you go to tell your friends in school, like, hey, Did you see that guy who was jacking the hell out of his slacks the other day? They're going to look at you like you've got, you know, probably a not very nice pair of slacks on. And the history of slacks jacking obviously begins with the history of slacks. Makes mm-hmm. sense, right? Sure. Why not? Yeah. Pete, keep talking. Thanks. I will.
Okay. Hey. No, that's you.
Oh.
You're talking to yourself.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll get you that.
Yeah. Hi. All right. So, let's get into the history, because slacks go back to about the 6th century BC, but when you start speeding it up into Greek and Roman time, like ancient Greek and Rome, the Romans mm-hmm. called slacks, quote, the garb of the barbarians. So you can tell.
And I love a good Greek salad.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the Romans not taken too kindly to slacks in general. Mm-hmm. But as the Roman soldiers kind of went around conquering the world, you know, they're up, hello, hey, we're in Mongolia, it's getting a little chilly. Hey, we're in South Philly. Whoops, maybe might want to need a pair of slacks instead of, you know, the Roman centurion outfit. And again, Roman centurion, not to be confused with Cylon centurion, they came 5 years later. So
down South Philly back again. All right.
Slacks. And as people are experimenting with slacks, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, I know we're only supposed to keep these at the waistline, but maybe this will look a little bit better 6 inches up. Let's give it a try. Yeah. And they start yanking and they start jacking, and the slacks mm-hmm. jacking is coming on strong, and people are becoming impotent. And all of a sudden you see a dip in the number of babies being born because people didn't. They couldn't control themselves. They're slack-jacking the hell, and the freaking satchels are getting squashed and crushed like grapes. It was not pretty.
I got a little sick just hearing you talk about it. So what year are we up to now? What century, if you will? What?
You know, about we're talking like American Revolution time. So you got like Paul Revere, mm-hmm. although they didn't call it slack-jacking then, but at this point it starts to come into its own. It was called britch-jacking. And so, you know, the famous, you know, Paul Revere's ride, he was riding mm-hmm. in a nice pair of breeches / slacks, but, you know, one if by land, two if by slacks.
And this is accurate. I mean, this is
you probably should have learned this in elementary school, and if not, shame on your teachers for not teaching you this, but you can look this up anywhere. This is just, I mean, this is science. This is common knowledge.
So Revere rides the hell out of that thing, partially because of the message and partially because of the discomfort. I mean,
well, I don't know.
Comfort.
I'm thinking that he's slack-jacking for comfort.
So he's able to do it. He's able to do his job because of the jacking he's done. So that's good.
Crazy. It's crazy stuff. It's incredible the way that slack-jacking has really. I mean, and this is early days. So people were still just mm-hmm. kind of feeling out, no pun intended, like how high they could jack the slacks or the breeches or what have you, the trousers, whatever your term of choice is. Mm-hmm. But let's move it on. Let's move it on up. Just like the Jeffersons, George and Wheezy, George Jefferson, notorious slacks jacker, by the way.
Oh, wait, before we get there, I got a little tidbit of information that I found. In 1931s, I like to speak of it that way, there was a poem that was written, and everybody knows the Robert Frost Road Not Taken mm-hmm. poem. This was by a long distant relative, Robespierre Frost. Mm. And I actually have the poem here because initially it was done on an iPad and somebody emailed it to me. So can I read that?
Please,
Okay, this Robespierre Frost poem is no copyright. The Pant Leg Not Taken. And this will give you a little bit of insight into the, you know, looking back on the origination of the slacks jackination. The Pant Leg Not Taken. There was a moment I'd been unsure. I'm going to start over now. Are you ready? There was a moment I'd been unsure how high my slacks could climb. And then the time came for a test. That test would be sublime. For when I jacked, I pulled with might I did not think I had. And everything around got tight and would not chance to sag. But then a choice was made for me, to which side would I lean? As I had jacked my slacks so quickly, I could almost taste my spleen. So with a shimmy and partial shake, my business picked a side and led me down the road seldom taken with 100% jacked pride. I mean, I'm crying.
It's beautiful.
I know, but I'm crying. Full on.
It's gorgeous, and it's a shame that Robespierre Frost did not eclipse his brother.
Right? Yeah, I don't think he lived past eight.
It's a tragedy.
It's a shame. Anyway, all right. I digress again. I'm sorry.
Well, let's we're about a lot of pop culture. So slack-shacking really, I think, starts to come into its own once we start hitting, you know, Hollywood in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Uh-huh.
And, there's just a lot. There's a lot of stuff that you may not find on a normal search, but we're just kind of privy to this information. You know, things like Ed Wood. Ed Wood would hang out at the Brown Derby with, Vampira, Bela Lugosi, Criswell, and they'd have slack jacking contests in the booth just to see who could like jack it fastest and the highest. And I mean, this would go to all hours of the morning, but most people don't realize that Ed Wood was a slack jacker because he was obviously more famous for making the bad movies and for the Angora sweaters, closet slack jacker.
He did have that wrestler on though. And a lot of times wrestlers had that precariously pulled up, shorts / combo, a neoprene thing, if you will. I never understood that, but yeah, I mean, there's some allusion to it there.
And it just started, you know, it started to take a dark turn, I think, once you got into this late 60s and 70s. And, you know, Sam the Butcher from Brady Bunch, this guy, oh boy, I don't know where to begin with him. There was a scene
on the Brady Bunch. You have Region 4, right? You know what Region 4 is, DVD? Extras. There's a scene on the Brady Bunch where Sam jacked his slack so high that he incorporated Alice's forehead and ears into his own pants. And they had to cut that. You can't do that on the Brady Bunch anymore, right? I'm sorry.
Well, but you'll notice if you watch season 3 of the Brady Bunch, Sam is only
Region 4,
season 3. Sam is only shot from the waist up. And people think, he's wearing an apron. There's a reason why he's wearing an apron. Because he could not, whether in or out of character, he could not stop jacking his slacks. It was slack jacking all the time. And you can read about it in his book, his autobiography, which is called Sam Slacks and Salami. He talks about it in depth.
Sam the Butcher Man's triple S.
His character was originally not Sam the Butcher. He was originally it was Sam the Milkman. But once he started jacking his slacks like that to like throw an apron on this guy, this is going to cause blindness among people. I mean, this is the early 70s. But the problem really hit when Robert Reed, who played Mr. Brady, noticed. How Sam would always be getting the Brady kids, once they yelled cut and everyone kind of take a break, he would still be kind of hanging around. The slacks would be up, they'd be like really, really jacked. He was showing off a little more than you probably should have, down in the satchel region. And all of a sudden it was like, hey, Bobby, come check. I got some salami over here. But he didn't.
And the meat juices, he would fill up a Ouija gun with meat juice and run all over the set and squirt the kids. You don't do that with your slacks up. I'm sorry. I mean, it goes against the Actors Guild, right? So they have a guild. They make things.
Well,
they guild things.
Yeah, but it was just, I mean, it was just gross slack shacking to the point that it nearly shut down production because Mike, because Robert Reed was not going to put up with this. He's like, listen, what's going on here? Do I have to lay the slack down on someone here? And he literally physically pulled Sam off of off of Christopher Knight one time because he because he kept he was just adamant about
Tiger. I think it was Tiger.
Oh, maybe it was Tiger. No, but Sam was had his hand physically in Christopher Knight's pants and was trying to just jack him up for him. He's like, "This is how you do it. Let me show you. This is how you do it. Look at this."
You don't jack for your neighbor. Everybody knows that. Yeah. You jack yourself.
Right.
Neighbor.
Yeah. And, you know, hands off the jack, okay? Stop jacking so much.
Right. Christopher Knight, obviously, is the Bobby, the Peter Brady.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, no, you know, these things all fit together sometimes. It's not good. You know, and Sam's behavior in the 60s, 70s TV world rolls into 70s, 80s TV world. It's just, you know, it's going to happen.
Right. The apron conceals a lot, as, you know, as the Hollywood saying goes. But, you know, and just watching an episode, you wouldn't see this, but it was just what was going on behind the scenes. It was taking Slackjack into a really ugly place. It should have been something to be celebrated. And unfortunately, Sam the Butcher, he really did a lot of damage to Slackjacking, and it started a slow and steady decline where Slackjacking wasn't really celebrated like it had been in the 40s and 50s, where, you know, on the set of The Wolfman, Lon Chaney Jr. would just be like, "Hey guys, look at this, Jack is slacks," mm-hmm. and everyone would applaud and laugh, and it was fun. It was lighthearted.
Yeah, that's what a Wolfman does.
Yeah,
I mean,
Wolfman Jack is slacks. As we move on into the future, you know, it's still in the 70s. It was still kind of celebrated before. It was a long slide into obscurity and derision. But in the 70s, you have, you know, the band the Bay City Rollers, notorious slackjackers. These guys were jacking their slacks. You stuck a camera in front of them, and the slacks would be jacked. See, I can't even say it properly because it's just so crazy.
Yeah, I think they had slacks extensions on some of their clothes. I don't really understand it. I mean, scientifically, it's not possible.
I mean, tartan,
physically.
You know, they had the tartan look, so like the tartan feature, and just tartan white plaid slacks just jacked all the way up to the heavens. Les McEwen, who was the lead singer, they would have this ritual before they'd go on stage for their shows, where they would all kind of gather and huddle up. And, you know, one of them, Eric Faulkner, the guitarist, would start jacking his slacks. And then all of a sudden, McEwen would start jacking his slacks. And then Woody would start jacking his slacks. And then they'd just get the chant going, S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Hike.
Night.
They didn't say night. Hike. And they would all hike there. They would start hiking the slacks up at the same time. And it would just go into a frenzy. They'd be so excited. And then they would just rush out on stage and perform. And Bay City Rollers were huge, huge in the mid-70s. They were, and a lot of that was attributed to the Slackjack. And they had a song called Shang-a-Lang that very nearly, it was in a demo form. It was called Slacks-a-Lack. But then they changed it because they didn't think it wasn't quite as catchy.
I should probably throw this in because he might wind up being a guest one day. But our friend Graham, he possesses over like 500 concert T-shirts. And he showed me recently a Bay City Rollers T-shirt that says Bay City Rollers on the front, and on the back it says Beans to Nipples. Mm. And I had no idea what the hell that meant until now. So, I mean, it's, you know,
I mean,
you
think
he learned
like
something.
Yeah, you think it was like a Scottish term or something.
Yeah, yeah. A podcast is about learning.
It is.
Clearly.
And we're doing that today. So, so that was the 70s, and things still great. You know, Hollywood, it was very accepted in Hollywood. You had all the heavy hitters. We're talking like serious actors like Norman Fell. You know, we're talking the best of the best, the cream of the crop, your perennial Oscar contenders. Norman Fell, Lee Majors, Eric Estrada, the guy that played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds.
And
legit,
for those of you that don't really
here.
And if you don't really understand the charisma of some of these people, like, I mean, out of the ones you mentioned, let's just say Norman Fell, these are the people who really are looking below the belt. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're so charismatic that people want to see what's going on with their clothes. And, you know, Fell had it going on.
Fell,
I mean, he did.
Was a trendsetter. I mean, no one.
And he was attractive. Attractive. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, there's a reason he. There's a reason he lasted as long as he did on Three's Company, because there's just no question that panties got wet when when Fel walked through the door.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just instant moistness going on. I'm not talking Duncan Hines. So you've got that. So this is, you know, this is the
talk to my wife Helen.
And then he'd look into the camera with that, you know, that grin, and you just yep. knew that TVs across America were getting squirted.
Yeah. It's too visual.
We're talking like a Ouija, you know, a little, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Kids would be really excited.
So, you know, your Fel turns into your Estrada, turns into, you know, you start seeing some Michael Landon, which we'll get into later, but what kind of impact, you know, you at some point you see a negative slide. You see a slacksjacking slammed in the media, slammed by Nancy Reagan's war on drugs, slammed by, you know, some of these other things, and it really took a big hit, right? I mean, for a while it became really, you know, not cool, if you will, to the slackjack.
Oh, absolutely. There was a definite backslash on the slackjack.
The backslash.
Yeah, yeah. There's a backslash.
Yeah, the backslash.
Slash.
Yeah, slack.
Is it slack? Schlang.
Which is like a TCH. Is that TCH? Starts with a TCH.
Right, but a great point, because you bring up Michael Landon. Let's get into Landon.
This is the one that. All right. Okay.
Because, you know, Michael Landon coming from Bonanza.
I cried for 4 months. Okay.
But he gave you the tingles, right? You got the ankles.
Yeah, he got the ankles tingles.
He gave himself the ankles tingles because he was slacksjacking it with the suspenders.
This is where it got over the top. People did not follow the instructions to the T, and they just went out on their own freestyle jacking, and then you wind up with Michael Landon on the set, right?
Well, Michael Landon, in many ways, an innovator, and he learned it from Lorne Greene because they were on Bonanza together.
Which, I mean, I hate to interrupt again, but most people are familiar with Lorne Greene as a diagnosis. But this one is the guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And lawn green, like if you water your lawn too much.
Exactly.
Lawn green. Yeah.
Exactly. And then if you get a bunch of lawn greens, then you kind of got like a gangrene going on. And then you start to deal with amputation. But again, the slacksjacking.
Continue. Okay. Yeah, with Michael.
So lawn green and Landon are on Bonanza together. So lawn green kind of pulls Landon aside. You know, I don't know. It was like season 5 or 6. There's some DVD.
And how do you know this, by the way? Because I know how you know it. Well, but I want to listen.
I mean, it's just
how
science.
You know it.
This is
that's it. Chilean scientists continue.
Yep. This is why we hire the best, because they feed us this information that we can then feed to you. But I mean, this again. Look this stuff up. We're not
common.
We're not
knowledge.
Telling stories out of school here. This is stuff
it's
that
it's a bit of a bumpkey. Yeah.
So Lauren Green pulls Landon aside and is like, "Hey. Gotta let you in on a little something." Michael Landon, you know, at the time, you know, a bit of a heartthrob type. He was like the dashing guy on Bonanza. He's like,
oh, he had a beautiful bird's nest of hair.
I mean, that guy was small children were being pulled
handsome.
Out of that man's hair.
Handsome. Yeah.
So Lorne Greene pulls him aside. You know, they're running lines one day. It's like, "Hey Landon, Mike, I gotta tell you something. Have you heard of slacksjacking?" You can imagine Michael Landon's reaction to that. So I'm going to pause here. I want you to physically imagine his reaction.
Me. Okay.
Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. The eyes and the whole thing. The bug
Landon,
eyes and the ears.
Landon, that crooked smile.
And he does that thing with his elbow.
Exactly. And he rolls up his sleeve.
Cold cocked him, right? Almost. Thought about
gave
it.
Gave him the forearm shiver.
Yeah, shivved him.
Said, "Don't you ever speak to me that way again."
Right.
Lauren Green picks himself up off the floor and says, "Michael, you can hate me all you want. Just listen to what I have to say." Landon's like, "Make it quick." Lauren Green, slacksjacking.
Yeah.
Stop Landon in his tracks.
Pioneer. Like a pioneer.
Yeah. Landon He, I'm getting, you know, I'm getting caught up in the emotion because I saw the behind the scenes clip of this DVD extra.
Yeah.
Clear the set. Everyone, I want everyone off the set. Clear the set.
He could be like that.
Could be.
Yeah.
So they all, Haas, everyone else, they all get out of there. He's like, Lorne, for the next 2 weeks, we're not going to sleep. We're not going to eat. I'm going to barely drink.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me. Teach me. Show me.
Oh.
Slackjack me.
Yeah, so you had like a Shotokan kind of situation going mm-hmm. going on mm-hmm. with the pants and the history between
teach
the two of them.
Teach me, grasshopper. So,
yeah,
show me the way.
Like a Yodi, a Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Yogi, the guy.
Yogi Bear. Yeah.
Well, and let's not, you know, these things don't happen on accident. Lorne Greene, Yoda. Anyway, so Lan and Jack's up.
Right, so let's fast forward now because...
This is where I get concerned.
Yeah, well, let's go. Now we're in the 80s. Landon
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
lands in Walnut Grove.
Yep.
Little House on the Prairie. Ingles Tingles. John, take it away.
All right, so you got Michael Landon now on the set of Ingles Tingles. And he, you know, the best way to describe this, because I cry most, I'm going to have a hard time talking about it, but I have that minimalist poster that is those, the suspenders. It's just like a black canvas, white, tannish suspenders. And then it looks just like a barrel of fun pulled up over the head. And what they would do on the set is there's a couple times they would jack out a crane. And Michael Landon specifically would ask to be put in the crane, bounced between 40 and 50 times until his slacks. It's like slacks to skin to human. You couldn't tell the difference. It all combined. And this is where I thought slackjacking really took a dark turn. And I was concerned
but
for Michael Landon's safety.
But that's just how he got ready to act in a scene.
Yeah.
So they wheel out the crane. They got him jacking up and down. All of a sudden, he's like, he claps his hand. And he's like, roll it. And he's in character because he's all, now he's amped up. He's, no pun intended, he's jacked up, literally. Yeah. The suspenders have got his britches mm-hmm. really high. Like
Region 4 extras, you know Region 4, right? On the DVD extras of that show, there is a blooper, if you will, if you want to use that term lightly. He is thrown in the air from the crane and kills a hog. He lands on a hog. And it's like, at that point, do you start thinking maybe I need to change what I'm doing? No. No. Just continues. Go right on ahead.
But
Manly's doing
it. Well, but there's a reason why they named him Manly, because Michael Landon made it Manly to jack your slacks. Ah. He was a man's man. He had a man's head of hair. He had a small man living in his hair. And he's like, we need a character named Manly. It can't be me because I'm Charles Ingles.
One of my favorite things about Ingles, and this I think violence is absolutely horrible, but on TV, he delivered one of the first backhand bitch slaps that I've ever seen in my life. And he would do it to male or female. And this is a thing, you know, people don't look at this stuff with history and how that continues on to the 70s and to the 80s and to shows like the A-Team and how the slap, not just the slap, but the slack is brought forward to the A-Team.
Yeah, and that's a great point because it's the continuation. It's the thread of the slacksjacking that even when it became kind of outlawed in a way, certainly in Hollywood, like Landon really took it to a level that people were like, holy cow, this guy is a visionary. And I don't know what else can be done with slacksjacking with the crane and the suspenders. Where do we go from here? And there was a lot of there was the backlash. There was a lot of backlash. And you know, there became a period of time in the late 70s when you would bring it up and it would just kind of go over people's heads, kind of like chucking a frisbee at Webster, just right over the head. God. So we're moving into the 80s, and the 80s, decade of decadence, a lot going on, a lot of slacks being jacked, but a lot of it behind closed doors, a lot of it on little cocaine.
Little people in big pants.
Little people in big pants. And you got George Peppard, who was probably my original inspiration when I was thinking slacks jacking. I'm thinking Peppard hiking up the white pants.
Man, I had 17 posters of him on my wall when I was younger.
As you should.
Are we recording?
Oh, hi.
Oh, all right, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, so talk to us about Peppard, cigar.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right, well, we'll go back to Webster a little bit because I want to talk about George.
That's what I said.
On that.
Talk to us about Webster, cigar. Do it.
Yeah. Little kids should not smoke cigars. That's the first thing. And the second thing is I loved everybody. Like, I loved, like, Gary Coleman and Emmanuel Lewis were, like, two of probably the best actors of our generation. And the one of the biggest shames on that show was Mam's reaction to George on set when George – started jacking. Webster came out, would come out of a clock, right? This is real stuff. I'm not making this up. He would come out of a clock, little guy, big clock, and he would come out of the clock, right? Mam would see him coming from a mile away, and she would go to elbow George to be like, we need to talk about him coming out of the clock the way he does. And when she would hit him with that elbow, she was like halfway down his pants. His pants were up so high that he literally – there was one point where he got the zipper caught on his bottom lip. And it's like you can't be doing that on set without clearing that with your agent and the producer. And George just jacked him. He just got out there and he jacked him, and that led to some – remember years back where they raised the they lowered and raised – the hoop in basketball because of Wilt the Stilt.
Mm-hmm.
They created a whole new set of rules for George and Webster because of slack shacking. So tell them about it, Pete. You know about the way they changed the furniture.
Oh, do I? Well, it's no secret that the guy that played George Papadopoulos, he ended up in Jackaholics Anonymous because of his time spent working on Webster, so that
made
just
it to
there
like step 85 though.
Right,
he did make it to step 85. All right,
but that right there was that's part of the tragedy. But again, this is why they have child labor laws, because Emmanuel Lewis, and I think we'd all agree when you think of Emmanuel Lewis, you think gravitas as an actor,
yeah,
and you also think
strength,
mm-hmm.
and
height,
no
towering,
no.
Powerful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's like bench press.
Yes,
I think
so.
The only thing. CrossFit.
Mam and George were actually married in real life, and it was clearly taking its toll on. I think Susan Clark was the woman that played Mam in Webster, because you'll notice right around the middle of season two, when it started to become a real problem, you never saw George filmed. They were strategically put like high chairs and couches in front of him to conceal the slacks jacking going on. Because as much as the director begged and pleaded with him, is like, listen, can you please just lower the slacks for just one scene?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. You're infringing upon my rights as an actor. You're infringing upon my rights as a slacks jacker.
Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh.
In the round.
Oh, Ulrich, Eric. I knew him well. Hey, Webb. Yeah. Hey, Webb, we're going to come over. Hey, Webb, we're going to let's play Stratego, Webb. But
and
Emmanuel Lewis, when you look at him in those scenes, the kid is terrified. He is terrified.
It speaks to, back then TMZ was just starting up, and it speaks to this feud that George and Webb had going, and George was determined to have his pants at like a foot higher than Webb. I mean, on set, like his pants, and really, it's a sad thing because we were talking about his problems. He was trying to get his pants into the credits, and they never did it. Region 5, Australian, you can see that it's just not going to happen. And he takes a tumble, and I really don't want to focus on the negative. I'd like to focus on the resurgence as we get more toward the 80s and the A-team of what slacksjacking becomes to a generation of people.
Well, but it was a power struggle between Emmanuel Lewis Webster and George. That's what it was. It's like, mm-hmm. You think you're a big man on campus running the show? You're not bigger than my slacks. Look at this.
Right.
They tower over you. And mm-hmm. There was one time where they got George. I think it was right. Around the time when Reagan was shot. So probably like around 80. He wore.
I just laughed at a president being shot. I'm such a bad person.
But he lived.
Okay.
Yeah. But they got him to wear his slacks at half mast for a half an episode. Half mast, half episode. But once they got around to the afternoon shoots, wouldn't you know it? Hey, look, I can unzip my pants and here comes my nose. Oh, is that your nose? Oh, it is.
Webster,
no, it is your nose. Go, thank God.
Webster climbs up on the top of his pants after realizing he can go step stool to chair to couch to ladder to George's pants because they're half mast. So he's standing on them with the salute. And it's like there's not a dry eye in the theater because that was filmed live in front of a studio audience.
Mm-hmm. And I think George Peppard kind of embodies the, that mid to late 80s belief of the slacksjackers are really the people that are kind of getting old and, they don't want to care about fashion anymore. So they don't care. They're going
to. And what is George and what is he most known for in the A-team? I hate to delve right into it, but I'm getting right into it.
Well, he's chomping the cigar.
Yep.
And jacking the slacks very subtly. If you have to go back and watch it.
I don't know. I mean, Peppard's on the set of the A-team, right? And he's got the cigar, and he's got the cachet. He's got people really paying attention to him.
This is a guy. He was in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Good looking actor.
I tense up.
Yeah.
I actually just pulled. I pulled like a what is it? A fluteus. It's like the back of the arm.
Mm-hmm.
The flutie.
Mm-hmm.
A fluteus. I pulled that because I'm very upset, and I think about the impact he had. They used to say because he. There were times where he jacked his slacks. If you don't have an assistant slacks jack trainer, which we'll get into later, you can jack so hard in one direction. They would see him coming from miles away, and they'd say, "There's George Peppard, the guy with the double cigar." You know what I mean? Like you just because he always had that persona about him, and it got uncomfortable between him and Twitty. No, there's no Twitty. Between him and Backus. What's the guy's name? B.A.
Backus. Talking about Jim Backus, Mr. Howell?
No, B.A. Backus. B.A. Backalakus?
Mr. Howell was the little-known sixth A-team member.
No. Huh. See what I'm doing? See what I did? And when I did that, I put my hand up like for a thing. You know what your hair is?
I mean, you're talking about – this was an ensemble cast. You had Dirk Benedict. We're talking fucking a Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. It doesn't get any bigger than that. It can't get any bigger than that.
One of the reasons they called him Face was the one episode where he had jacked his slack so high because he just loved Peppard so much that they came up. I don't like talking about this, but they came up and around his head and framed his face in like a cylindrical kind of a, picture frame, if you will. And that is why they called him Face.
Mm-hmm. You're the Face and man.
And Peppard, he never really understood his place in all this. He never got how important he was to the slacksjacking movement. You know what? This just all brings it back to me. As we close things out, I think I'm going to start putting up my posters again. I mean, I know I have a family now, but I what, that 16, 17 of those babies. I got to get them up. I can't. Nobody, you know, only two George Peppard posters were made, and I made 15 more. So
I think it speaks.
I got to put those babies
I
up.
I think it speaks volumes that you had the Peppard posters up, and try and say that 10 times fast.
Yeah.
But you had those up, but it's what those posters replaced, because you had that Adelaide poster from Different Strokes on your wall probably for as long as I've known you. And that thing was just tattered and torn. That was like hanging right above your bed for like 15 or 20 years. And but Peppard came and said, Adelaide, move over.
I have a lot of posters, and I will fill the walls. But it's very important that we come back to what slacksjacking means to society. You know, before we close out, I don't want people walking away just being like, this was a fashion statement, because it wasn't.
It was gross. It was more than a fashion statement. It was a movement.
No, yeah, it was movement upward for
people.
It
was rapid movement up and down, mostly up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for people in society.
It brought tears to the eyes of many, but that was mostly because the scrotum was being squeezed a little too tightly. But these things happen in life. These things happen in society. And we don't want to paint a picture of Hollywood run amok with slacksjacking, but it was a very real part of pop culture. And it remains real part of pop culture, as it should.
Yep.
We hope that we've informed you. We've educated you a little bit about slacksjacking. It's not just in Hollywood, folks. Like we said, your uncle probably has been doing some slacksjacking, either behind your back or full frontal. You've probably seen it. You may have blocked it out, but it's been there. But what we're really trying to say here is that there should be no stigma. There should be no shame in it. The slacksjacker creed motto, if you will, is hold your head up high, but maybe just hold your slacks up a little bit higher.
Yeah, couldn't you just for once?
And I think if we take nothing away from our talk today, it's that slacksjacking is done so much for the benefit of society at large. It's stopped wars. It's stopped the proliferation of nuclear weapons. It's stopped.
There you go. There you go again.
What hasn't it stopped, really?
Yeah, and it started things that it didn't
started
stop.
A revolution.
Yeah. I want people to know, I just got a text from the legal team and the travel team that the actual slacks that Landon had jacked with the crane and the crane are available to be toured and seen over by the largest pair of elbow pads in Ohio.
That's great.
So if anybody's interested in doing one of those things.
So let's keep this slacksjacking conversation going. Send us some photos of some famous slacksjackers. Send us some photos of your family slacksjacking. We'd love to see it all. And you can always follow along with us on Twitter. We are at SoBadCast on Twitter.
I want to see it all.
You can hopefully have followed us or found us through iTunes because we are on iTunes, which is a pretty incredible thing, the fact that two goofballs have been able to actually
sing it.
Yeah.
They could sing it.
Yeah.
On iTunes. Yeah.
And, you know, come up a little jingle, a little slacksjacking jingle. I always thought that slacksjacking kind of went well with the Hot Pockets jingle, you know, like slacksjacking, you know, something a little bit like that.
I liked old Kris Kringle slacksjacking jingle. He pulls red and white up. Yo, yo, yo. And then I didn't get a chance to work on the rest.
Well, it's a start. We've got something started there. So until our next incredibly ludicrous episode, I am Pete.
And I'm John. And I remind you to buy toothbrushes. Don't rent them.
We should probably, since this is So Bad It's, we should probably give our So Bad It's rating to slacksjacking.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say slacksjacking is so bad, it's glorious.
And I've been more like so bad. It's ultimately important for the environment. Mm. And I know we didn't cover that tonight, but about 13, 14 episodes in, you'll get it.
Well said.
Thanks.
Well said. Well, again, thanks for tuning in. This is Pete and John for So Bad It's. We will catch you next time. And until then, start jacking those slacks.
Jack under the sky.